They keep winning. The Tigers, a game and a half back of a playoff spot. Jason Benetti, Bally Sports Detroit, joins us this morning. Jason, good morning.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Good. I mean, this has been exciting. Is there any way to explain what has gone on over the past 6 weeks? How are we here at this point, just a game and a half back?
Yeah, I mean, I think the answer is like, you know those flip books that they have of presidents to show like how much they've aged in office, right? So like, you're like, wow, he had dark hair when, oh, gray, he got gray at some point. Like, oh man, that happened. I think that's the way the development has worked with the Tigers. I think like you look at Montero, for example, right? His first couple starts, he's spraying the ball. They add the sinker, the curveball gets better, and then suddenly after a bunch of months of development, you see this critical mass where you're like, man, he's really good. Parker Meadows at this point, like, I don't know who believes in clutch and who doesn't, but like every time you need a big hit or a big catch, there's Parker Meadows. And you take that with an entire roster or the abundance of the roster, and then suddenly you're like, man, all those guys who had those flaws before, like, seems like they kind of magically got ironed out. I think the world of what the Tigers have done developmentally, and especially, you know, the major league staff, but also the minor league staff, like, you end up with a bunch of guys who have made strides kind of in the shadows, and then you see them happening in big moments. And I think it's kind of the reason we watch baseball.
Another factor here is this bullpen, and we don't mean any disrespect by it, but we've called it a hodgepodge, you know, duct tape and glue. These aren't guys with proven major league track records. And if it's AJ, if it's Fetter, if it's the players themselves deserving some credit, how do you explain the bullpen? Like twice even yesterday, bases loaded, they come in, they get out of a jam, five plus scoreless innings from the bullpen. Like, do you marvel? It's like next guy comes in and it doesn't matter who it is, they find a way to get out of the jam.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's in part the bullpen structure that you have guys that do those things. And then there's some fortune along with it. But like Shelby Miller at this point is on the roster to get a ground ball from a left-handed bat. We talked about it when he came in. Like he's this odd, like sort of weird weapon where he's a righty who gets lefties out dramatically. And so Michael Massey's standing there, and then suddenly Shelby Miller walks in and he gets what he wants. That's not going to always happen. And I do think like the BABIP gods have gotten some sort of sacrifice from the Tigers that nobody knows about. But I also think it's in part because there are so many varied weapons. Like Jason Foley has that bowling ball sinker people talk about. And then Shelby Miller has a splitter that works well against lefties. And Tyler Holton can get both sides out. And you have this array of guys who, you name a player on the opposing team that isn't a megastar, there's probably somebody in the bullpen that can, number one, get that player out, but then number two, hold his own against the rest of the next two batters that he's got to face. So I do think it's a managerial success, but I also think it's that the Tigers have weapons that are so varied. It's this wide spectrum of options in the bullpen that makes you feel comfortable in any situation. Like a guy that walks up there that has trouble with velocity, like there's Bo Brisky, a guy that walks up there who has trouble with off-speed stuff or, you know, east, west, north, south from a left-hander, there's Tyler Holton. Like, there's something for everybody there.
What's been the biggest surprise of this resurgence for the Tigers? Has it been the staff? Has it been Parker Meadows, Spencer Torkelson? I mean, insert whatever you want, but what's been the biggest surprise over the second half of this season?
Biggest surprise, I think to everybody, even people like I watched Tampa Bay do it with the opener, right? Even to people who believe in it and who believe in kind of breaking baseball norms for the good of logic. Like I was talking to Ben Lindbergh on the Effectively Wild podcast about this yesterday, but like the opener is something that has worked for Tampa Bay. But until you see it work in front of your eyes, you're like, ah, that's a little bit like a gimmick. Like, is that the McRib? Like, I don't know what it is, right? But then suddenly you watch it happen and you see guys have success starting in the second inning, and it works. And I don't know that it's a surprise to me that it works on a one-off scenario, but I do think it's a surprise to everybody when it works in a large scale way. But it also just makes a lot of sense. Like in an NBA way, you want that guy that's coming off the bench who you know is better than everybody else's second line. You want them going against their second line so you can cook, right? He comes in the game, he hits a couple buckets, other coach calls timeout, and you're like, man, that guy should start. Well, you'd rather have him be, man, that guy should start, than him blend in with the starters. And I just think the way that has worked out for the Tigers gives the Tigers some flexibility and opportunity in the future if they need to do something like that. But it also makes sense. Like, do we board planes properly in this country? Probably not. You know, like first class gets on and then clogs up everything. We should start with row 72, but we don't because that's the norm, right? But like, there have been a ton of studies that says we do it wrong. And so, like, if the opener gets you outs with a guy you choose against the top of the order, and then you go to the second guy, just think about being on a plane and standing there when all you want to do is get to row 11. It's nonsense.
I feel like I should ask, what's the best way to merge? We've got a lot of analogies. Should we use a zipper method or
I
agree. But I do want to.
While they're open. Use the lanes while they're open.
Thank you.
We're solving the world's problems, but nobody makes a McRib reference unless they love the McRib. Are you first in line whenever McDonald's brings it back?
Yo, when I was a kid, I liked everything that was a limited time. Okay, like I would have something on a menu and then 2 weeks later it would disappear. That is an insight that I've had to deal with for a long time, but I like the foods that are off the beaten path. Yes.
Jason Benetti, Bally Sports Detroit, the Have a Seat podcast with Dan Dickerson as well. Jason, what would you say to someone who's still on the fence going, this doesn't feel sustainable? Maybe they're your morning co-host on this station. What would you say to someone who's not all the way in that this team is making the playoffs? Because it sure feels like it to half of this show.
So, okay. So to that other person, whoever it might be, I would ask in like a completely unsnarky way, how do you feel about fun? Like, what do you think about fun? And what do you want out of the word fun?
I like fun.
You don't have to answer. This is not necessarily about you.
No. Let's go ahead and unveil this. I like fun. I'm also bound by logic, and everything that the Tigers are doing and how they're doing it defies logic.
That's what makes it fun. That you can't explain it. That it is just live in the moment and say, why not? Of course it's going to be a blooper by Parker Meadows after a balk that you just happen to get in extra innings. It doesn't have to make sense.
How should I suspend reality?
But that's your own choice, man. Like, we all get to... Here's the thing I love about baseball, though. We all get to make our own choices, right? Yeah. Like, I don't have to watch the game like you watch the game. I don't. Yeah. You don't. Like, you can be totally logical and be right in the end, but, like, is that fulfilling? I don't know. It might be. I'm a super logical person, too, John. Like, I really am. Like, I look at this and I see the 20% chance of making the playoffs and I'm like, yeah, probably not. That's still where I am, you know, logically. But then I sit down to watch these games and everything goes the Tigers' way. And you think, wow, that can't be sustainable. But we said it last night with Casey Mize's start, and I think it's important. Sustainability doesn't matter right now. There are 10 games left. You're in the window, and the Twins have opened the door to be in this window. where wonky stuff can happen for a week and a half, and nobody has to make it sustainable. You can go on a burner of six straight blackjacks right now.
Yep.
That's what you can do. Like, but if the Twins did not open the door to that, you could say, yeah, like eight straight 21s is not going to happen. But right now, if you go on a burner at the Felt, you're going to make something happen almost regardless of whatever else happens. Like, it doesn't have to be sustainable in a one-day span. And so all the stuff we talk about in May, I actually think, and this is why there was this whole push and pull with Moneyball back in the day. It's like the first argument was, yeah, it got Oakland to the playoffs, but can it do it in a playoff series? Right. And the reason is a shrunken sample size. So now the Twins have left this happen where, like, you can just be crazy for a week and a half. And the Tigers have already done it for longer than that. So it's not logical. But baseball's logic, when shrunken to 10 days, kind of dissipates and fizzles.
Jason, this has been great. I just have one more question for you, because as we watch all of this, we see the foundation. We see a young roster starting to solidify. Do you feel like, and maybe this is a $100 million question, we've seen the core establish themselves enough to where we should see a reinvestment around them next year so that we're not relying on, what did you say, eight straight blackjacks?
Yeah.
How do you feel that this has positioned
at the Felt?
How do you feel like this has positioned them?
Yeah, so, like, I just don't know where you put free agents offensively. You know what I mean? Like, I know there are probably a couple spots you guys are thinking of, but I just think with all the young talent that's here, if you believe even that this isn't sustainable, winning, you know, 24 out of 34, and, you know, is it for anybody? But I do think, like, there's a lot of value in understanding that these young guys, the plan is for them to only get better, and that the Tigers developmentally and, like, investment wise, like, there's a reason they put the money into the new clubhouse, and it's so guys can get better. Like, that's the whole deal here. So I just don't know where you fit in a bunch of free agents, but that's not to say, like, I'm not a guy who's going to be like, yeah, don't get a better player. Of course, like, whatever you can do to make your team better, great. But I do think, like, this is a very instructive moment of just giving a little leeway to the idea that young players are, number one, fun to watch, and number two, they are developmentally sound with the Tigers to try to make people better. I mean, look, like, can you guys believe Andy Dirks has done less than 10 TV games all time?
You wouldn't believe it when you listen to him.
Like, you run into stuff sometimes. And I think if the whole structure is in place to make people better, that's the point of this. Like, you want to know as a player and as a team that you can, when you tell a player that we're going to make you better, that it's actually going to happen. Because, little known fact, that doesn't happen everywhere around the big leagues. Like, there are places where people go and they're like, I didn't get better here. And I just don't think the Tigers are that. I think they're the opposite. And people might accuse me of, like, drinking the Kool-Aid, but it's happening in front of our eyes.
He's Jason Benetti, Bally Sports Detroit. Jason, we appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks, gents.
It's 97.1.